Gautama, the awakened one, or Buddha, who died in 545 BC, lived at a time when the major Upanishads were already in existence, and their philosophy must be seen as the point of departure for his own teaching. The Buddha was acting in full accord with this tradition when he became a rishi, or forest sage, who had abandoned the life of the householder and divested himself of caste in order to follow a way of liberation. For the Indian tradition, even more than the Chinese, specifically encourages the abandonment of the conventional life at a certain age, after the duties of family and citizenship have been fulfilled. Relinquishment of caste is the outward and visible sign of the realization that one's true state is unclassified, that one's role or person is simply conventional, and that one's true nature is no thing and no body. This realization was the crux of the Buddha's experience of awakening, Bodhi, which dawned upon him one night as he sat under the celebrated Bo tree at Gaya after 7 years of meditation in the forests. From the standpoint of Zen, this experience is the essential content of Buddhism, and the verbal doctrine is quite secondary to the wordless transmission of the experience from generation to generation. For 7 years, Gautama had struggled by the traditional means of yoga and tapas to penetrate the cause of man's enslavement to Maya, to find release from the vicious circle of clinging to life, trishna, which is like trying to make the hand grasp itself. All his efforts had been in vain. The eternal Atman, the real self, was not to be found. However much he concentrated upon his own mind to find its root and ground, he found only his own effort to concentrate. The evening before his awakening, he simply gave up, relaxed his ascetic diet, and ate some nourishing food. Thereupon, he felt at once that a profound change was coming over him. He sat beneath the tree, vowing never to rise until he had attained the supreme awakening, and, according to tradition, sat all through the night until the first glimpse of the morning star suddenly provoked a state of perfect clarity and understanding. This was Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, unexcelled complete awakening, liberation from Maya and from the everlasting round of birth and death, samsara, which goes on and on for as long as a man tries in any way whatsoever to grasp at his own life. Yet the actual content of this experience was never and could never be put into words, for words are the frames of Maya, the meshes of its net, and the experience is of the water which slips through. Thus, so far as words are concerned, the most that may be said of this experience are the words attributed to the Buddha in the Vajrakhedika. Quote, "Just so, Suputi, I obtained not the least thing from unexcelled complete awakening, and for this very reason it is called unexcelled complete awakening." Close quote. Thus, from the standpoint of Zen, the Buddha never said a word, despite the volumes of scriptures attributed to him. For his real message remained always unspoken, and was such that when words attempted to express it, they made it seem as if it were nothing at all. Yet it is the essential tradition of Zen that what cannot be conveyed in speech can nevertheless be passed on by direct pointing, by some nonverbal means of communication, without which the Buddhist experience could never have been handed down to future generations. In its own tradition, Zen maintains that the Buddha transmitted awakening to his chief disciple, Mahakasyapa, by holding up a flower and remaining silent. The traditional story which the Zen school gives of its own origin is that it arrived in China in 520 with the Indian monk Bodhidharma, 28th of a somewhat fanciful list of Indian patriarchs, standing in a direct line of apostolic succession from Gautama. Bodhidharma arrived in Canton from India and proceeded to the court of Emperor Wu of Liang, an enthusiastic patron of Buddhism. However, Bodhidharma's doctrine and his abrupt attitude did not appeal to the emperor, so that he withdrew for some years to a monastery in the state of Wei and spent his time gazing at the wall, until at last he found a suitable disciple who subsequently became the second patriarch of Zen in China.